This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Let's listen to a wonderful song to open our programme today, which reminds me of a reading in Paul's letter to the Romans chapter 8, which says this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors, through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a well-known song called He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, sung by worship leaders from right across the world, and it's interspersed with words pleading for God's peace in the face of trouble and hardship.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
Sari duniya ko usne thama hai.
Someone in Davis
and I visited Chillingham Castle this last week, one of the most fascinating places you could visit in the north of Northumberland, with its quirky collection of historical artefacts and memorabilia, its beautiful gardens, lakes, fountains, and its tea rooms. But what caught my eye was a notice outside one of its ground floor rooms which read, "Not for those with a nervous disposition." And because I didn't think I was, I went in without giving the matter any thought. I was shocked to see so many horrific instruments of torture, medieval torture. It hit me with full force that many ordinary people in the past fell victim to such brutal cruelty. It did upset me. I think I must have a nervous disposition after all. But what kind of person puts their minds to inventing such things? What kind of mind sees nothing wrong in inflicting pain and suffering upon another human being? Sadly, such cruelty still exists today in many forms. All of Jesus' disciples, bar one, came to be tortured in some form or other eventually and died horrific deaths. Today the church remembers St. James the Apostle, brother of John and sons of Zebedee. John was the one disciple who lived to an old age, but James was killed with a sword by order of King Herod Agrippa I, round about 44 AD. James was the first of the apostles to be martyred for his faith, and when Herod saw that it pleased the crowds, he decided to arrest Peter too. Here's a beautiful hymn based upon the last words of a martyr from the Garo tribe of former Assam in India. The man's name was Noksing, whose family was killed for their faith one by one before him, until he was taken too. No turning back, he said, before he died. The chief responsible for his death immediately became converted himself as a result. Here is "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Persecution was hardly what the apostles signed up for when they decided to follow Jesus. Many today suffer and die for being followers of Jesus in countries such as Nigeria, North Korea, India, Indonesia, to name but a few. But to be a witnessing Christian in these countries will lead to a death sentence. Some don't realise what a real challenge it is to own up to faith in Jesus in certain parts of the world. And we in the West can be so blinkered to what's happening, so resistant to faith ourselves. And could it be because there are so many other distractions in our lives? We can also convince ourselves that in order to come to faith, we have to be good enough first. But it doesn't work like that. Jesus calls us to follow just as we are, right now.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
riches healeth the mind. Yea, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, I come.
That beautiful hymn, Just As I Am, was sung there by Brian Dirksen. The Apostle James, along with his brother John, once lived in Capernaum, and they were fishermen when Jesus called them to follow him. They both earned the nickname Boanerges, sons of thunder, implying that they were rather impulsive and jealous for their faith. A bit hot-headed, should we say. Indeed, when Jesus and his disciples were not received very well in a Samaritan village, James and John both wanted revenge, but Jesus rebuked them both. We're not told his exact words. I'd love to know what he said exactly, but these two brothers had to learn to love and respect everyone, particularly their enemies. The Bible teaches us that in loving those who hate us, we actually heap burning coals upon their heads. I wonder what you think that means. Perhaps it means that love and respect will cause an enemy to burn with shame, either that or perhaps it will bring them to repentance. Love one another was Jesus' command to his followers. Here's one of my most recent songs, a very short one, on the same theme called Love One Another.
A new command I give I to you, that you be loving in all you do. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I've loved you. By this the world will know that you are mine. If my disciples let their love shine. By this the world will know that you are mine. If my disciples let their love shine. Go let your love shine.
The mother of James and his brother John was, shall we say, according to Matthew, rather ambitious for them. He tells how it was she who came with her sons to ask Jesus to grant them exalted positions in the kingdom of God. Mark, on the other hand, tells us it was the two brothers who requested such privileged positions. But you can almost see Jesus shaking his head once again as he tells them that his Father's kingdom was about sacrificial love and serving others, rather than ambition and gaining power. They had many lessons to learn, but then again, so do we. I remember my dad shaking his head sadly but lovingly at me when I did something really naive and stupid when I was a young teenager. But he was doing it out of love to set me right. His eyes said it all. And this is what I imagine Jesus doing right here. We learn through our mistakes and wrong attitudes, don't we? And the words of Jesus can bring us life and real joy if we listen and we learn and obey him. Let's listen to I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, sung here by Wendy Ritchie.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus.
Jesus responded to their request like this. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here is St. Albans Church Choir Bristol singing, O Jesus, I Have Promised. James and his brother John were very close to Jesus, though. They were part of Jesus' inner circle of three, along with Peter, who were allowed the privilege of actually witnessing firsthand the raising of Jairus' daughter, the transfiguration of Jesus, and Jesus' agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. James, like the others, was by no means perfect. Not one of us is. He was an ordinary fisherman, and he came just as he was, warts and all. But he was a quick learner, and after Jesus' resurrection, he was courageous and resolute in telling others about Jesus. James and the other apostles soon realized that following Jesus could very well lead to hardship, persecution, and even death. But they were confident in the knowledge that their eternal reward would be eternal life with him in heaven. They were eager and willing to serve as Jesus served, and they were dedicated to his teaching. Samuel Wesley wrote, Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Here it is, sung by the Santa Maria de Jesu Church.
Thank you.
and over again, Jesus calls us back to himself whenever we stray or make mistakes, whenever we're tempted, too proud or deluded, whenever we get caught up in ourselves and have a good moan, or when our lives become tinged with self-pity. And Jesus whispers, as he did in that reading, "It shall not be so among you." No, we must allow the perfect mind of Christ Jesus to fill our minds and transform them. If only humankind could have learned this lesson throughout all its savage and cruel history, we would have quite a different world today. People from all religious backgrounds have been responsible for much of the violence, but the teaching that Jesus brought to the world was quite the opposite. He preached and demonstrated perfect love, perfect peace, and justice for all. This is Sheila Hamill saying goodbye for now, along with my technical assistant, Andrew Ridgwick. Andrew, say goodbye.
Bye for now.
There's a very moving closing prayer in our final song today with Jake Amading's version of "May the Mind of Christ our Saviour." Perhaps you'd consider making it your own this morning. And if you're listening to this broadcast from a hospital bed today, may the Lord God bless you, heal you, and make you whole again. Bye for now.
May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. By his blood and power controlling all I do and say. Self-abasing, this is